Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Okay, I'm going to pray and then read the Holy Scripture before I bring you the Word of God. Join me in prayer as we come to God's Word. We ask Him to speak to us by His Holy Word this afternoon. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. And Father, we thank You, God, that You are gracious and good. Lord, we gather in Your presence. And we ask You, Lord God, that by Your Holy Spirit, You will speak to us and teach us, Lord God, from Your Word, that we may hear, we may understand, and that we may obey. For we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Now turn your Bibles with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 2 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. Paul wrote, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. There's another passage which I will just read, and I'm quite sure you're familiar with this verse, and it's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 9. But let me read for you the context of that beatitude. It says over here in Matthew chapter 5, seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, and in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now this afternoon, I want to share a sermon, a text, and the title of the sermon will be Shalom. Blessed are the peacemakers. Shalom, blessed are the peacemakers. Now I don't suppose Shalom is a word that we commonly use, or at least you commonly use, right? Although I use the word quite a fair bit. Actually, whenever I start my email, I usually would put the word Shalom, and when I see my friends, I would greet them with the word Shalom. And part of it simply is a habit, or is a practice picked up from Jewish people. You know, when two Jewish people meet one another, or a group of Jewish people meet one another, they would Shalom, right? And all the time, you know, whether you say hello or you say goodbye, it's Shalom, right? And Shalom is a common word. And in fact, if you were to use the word Shalom and a Jewish person who would normally never expect, well, non-Jewish people to use the word Shalom, they will be so pleasantly surprised. I'm quite sure, I don't know whether any of you have experienced like that. You use the word shalom in the general context. And then you have there happen to be some Jewish people around, and in a small circle, you hear the shalom, the eyes brighten up. Some months ago, I was in the airport, I met receiving a friend. And I met another friend from Singapore, and when I saw him, I said shalom, because that's the normal habit when I meet my friends. His friend, who happened to be a Jew, looked around and said, "You mean you use this word so commonly in Singapore?" Of course not, right? But that's something that perks Jewish people up. You know, the word shalom is a special word. And by the way, we have somebody who's going to confirm the new shalom. Right. In fact, there are two shaloms to be confirmed today. One is in Hebrew, shalom. The other is Irene, right? The Greek equivalent of the word shalom in Hebrew. You know, shalom does not just mean peace. Usually, of course, that's what people think of. Shalom is peace. But in Jewish thinking, the word shalom has got a far broader meaning. And it carries a sense of something that is in perfection. Perfect in harmony. Right? That sense of contentment, wholeness, you know. And it's all the best. I mean, what we would want for in life. Right? Shalom, peace. And shalom, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, where we read that part of the Beatitude, it doesn't say, blessed are those who keep the peace, right? There's a distinction between just keeping the peace and peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers, as in people who live their lives actively bringing about the shalom, peace of God in our lives, right? And I want to suggest to you that here is an important expression of the way we are called to live our lives, living in shalom, peace. And some may say, well, in the church, everything should be okay, right? But I'm not so sure, right? And I want you to go back with me to the passage in Philippians chapter 4, right? Let me unpack that for you. And first, let me read the first Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3, right? Verses 2 and 3. Paul here writes, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion. Now, who this true companion is, one isn't sure. It could be the person who brought this letter to the Philippians. It could be just somebody, right? Just a generic reference. I ask you, true companions, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, this text over here demonstrates for us clearly that shalom, or peace, within a community cannot be taken for granted, right? And of course, these two texts is centered upon two ladies, and it so happened that, well, Paul wrote about them, and I suppose in eternity, when we arrive at eternity, we want to look for Euodia and Syntyche, right? Here were two persons who were, well, in a conflict situation, right? Now, evidently, they must be from the church in Philippi. And who are these people? Right? We ask the question, do they love Jesus? I would think, from the text itself, it seems that they are people who will love Jesus. Right? Were they serious disciples of Jesus Christ? And some must be yes. Right? Because Paul said that they were active for the sake of the gospel. They were hard for the gospel. And then Paul also said that with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, I think the evidence from scripture is as clear as we can get, and that is Euodia and Syntyche were people who we will call, well, good Christians. Good Christians. But the fact of the matter is, there was something between them, so much so that Paul, as he concludes his letter to the Philippians, he needed to address, right? And he tell them, well, we need, well, they need to do something about their relationship, right? Let me pause here and say this. The fact of the matter is, good Christians can also have bad relationship with one another. Can't deny that from scripture. We can't deny that when we see life every day, right? And when good Christians have bad relationships with one another, well, shalom is in some way fractured, right? That's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. And Paul, as he wrote to the church in Philippi, he gave clear instructions on, well, sort this out, right? He first appealed to them, would you please, the two of you, please agree, right? Agree in the Lord. Now I'm going to unpack later on what is agree in the Lord. And then he also asked others, right, who are around them to help them to be reconciled. The bottom line is this, blessed are the peacemakers. I don't know whether you are in a situation where you know that there is difficulty between, well, some fellow followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could see the difficulties, right? And I suggest to you that the response for anyone who takes scripture seriously is to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 and hear the words of Jesus afresh. Blessed are the peacemakers. In other words, it is our responsibility to do something. To do something to bring about that, the shalom, to restore the shalom, in that corner of our community. Right? Now, Paul gives us clear instructions on how to do this, right? And here I want to work through with you from chapter from verse 4 to verse 7. Now let me look at verse 4. Let's look at first at verse 4, right? So I entitled this part of the message, this verse 4 to verse 7, as the key to peacemaking. And what is the key to peacemaking? It is the peace of God. Ultimately, the reason why and the only way in which we can be reconciled, which Christians can live in harmony with one another, ultimately is the peace of God. It's not even, it's never possible. It's not because of what we can bring to the table, but it's because of what, it's because of the peace of God and what that does to us. Right? Look at verse 4. Right? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now Paul says, continue with these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Now this verse is one of the famous verses, right? We often plug this verse off, and we quote it, right? We quote it. It's a good verse, right? But we need to know that this verse is set in the context of people of Euodia and Syntyche who were quarreling, and Paul here tells them that it's very important. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now let me say this. Joy is characteristic of those of us who follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I hear that. Our joy is a reflection of knowing who we are in the sight of God. Our joy is the reason why we are joyful, why joy is part of our lives, is because we know who we are in Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It is centered upon the fact that we know we are in Christ. And I presume virtually everybody in this room are people who know what it is to be in Christ, right? Because I'm quite sure at some stage of your life, for the vast majority of you, you make a decision somewhere along your life to say, look, I will follow Jesus Christ, right? And I'm quite sure the verse in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You understand that, right? I'd like us to note that when Paul wrote this, now by the way, the letter to the Philippians is called the letter of joy. It's a book of joy. Why? Because Paul, in this epistle, write on joy. In fact, the word joy or rejoice is used so many times. I think it's used 30 over times, right? But do you know where Paul was when Paul wrote this letter? He was in prison, right? Those of you who have studied Scripture, you know, Paul was, I think in a way, he was, I don't know whether he was chained to a Roman guard, but certainly the Roman guard who looks after him is going to make sure this fellow doesn't get away. And I think Paul wasn't interested in getting away. But the fact of the matter is, Paul was in prison. Now, Paul was in prison for no fault of his own. Paul was in prison because of the gospel, right? But the fact of the matter is, Paul was in prison. Now, of all people in the world who shouldn't be too joyful, right? I suppose when you are in prison, it shouldn't be the most joyful of places, right? And yet Paul, as he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, and in particular right now, as he addressed this situation between Euodia and Syntyche, he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. He underlines that, he underlines that a few times. Again, I say to you, rejoice. So that's the first thing. The first key in bringing about peace with one another is this fact of joyfulness. Because when we are joyful, we become less critical of other people. When we know who we are in Christ, we are joyful, and that's so. And then Paul brings that down to another point, right? Be joyful. Number two, he says, be reasonable. Right? Look at the text here in verse 5. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And he links that with, the Lord is at hand. Now, what is meant by the Lord is at hand, right? I don't think it necessarily means that Paul was saying Jesus is coming soon. I don't think that's what he meant. I think what Paul was saying is this. Be reasonable because God is watching over you. God is near. God is just at the corner when you relate to one another. God is just at the corner. The Lord is at hand. Now, reasonableness, or to be reasonable, essentially has to do with the way when we deal with people, we know or we work on a boundary which we shouldn't cross, right? If we are usually loud, right? I think to be reasonable is, well, control our volume, right? To be reasonable is to relate to people in such a way that they don't feel us pressurizing them or our presence intimidating them. So Paul says, be reasonable, right? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And this, I think, is the key to being reasonable. The Lord is at hand. And then Paul went on to the next part of how we are to live our lives if we want to live in harmony, in shalom with other people, right? And look at verse 6, right? Look at verse 6. He speaks about a prayerful life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I think prayerfulness is an important part of the way we relate to other people. If we want to work on, if we want to relate to others with that kind of relationship, that leads to peace, leads to harmony, right? And perhaps one way, one other way to look at this is this. Paul here says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't be overly concerned, but be prayerful, right? Why worry, so to speak, when you can pray, right? Pray. And I think when we are anxious, we can become unnecessarily critical of other people. And Paul here is telling us that the way in which prayer shapes our lives, right? Shapes the way we relate to other people. And then the combined effort, the combined result of being joyful, of knowing who we are in Christ, being reasonable, and being not anxious, right, but prayerful, will bring into us the shalom peace that Paul says will garrison our hearts and minds, right, or will guard our hearts and minds. We see that in verse 7, right? When all these things take place, and the peace of God, right? If you're looking for the peace of God, this is where it comes from. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then Paul moved from this peace of God to an intimacy with the God of peace. Not just the peace of God, but the God of peace, right? And we see that in the next two verses. Let me read that first and then I'll explain it for you. Verse 8 and 9, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul here lists for us quite a long, several things that he asks us, you know, to dwell our minds upon, right? He says, Whatever is true. Now, when we relate to people, the very fact that the person says something and is true may hurt us, right? And Paul is saying, look, whatever is true, well, think about them, right? Not necessarily whatever is pleasing to you, right? Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, right? Whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, virtuous, whatever has moral excellence, right? And Paul says, look, think about these things. In other words, fill your mind with whatever is good, whatever is right. In a relationship with people, we can always look at their good sides and their bad sides. And Paul says, look, think about the good things, right? Think about the good things. And then Paul speaks about himself, right? What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And here Paul is appealing to personal example. And there is nothing stronger, right, than personal example, that we can appeal to as well, right? And Paul here appealed to personal example. He says, look, when you, all this good stuff, so to speak, he says, Paul says, practice these things. In other words, do them, right? And the God of peace will be with you. Let me draw the sermon to application. And obviously the most obvious question is, are you living in the shalom peace of God? And I'm not asking you, are you living in peace with God? Right? Many of us will say, yes, right? I've been reconciled to God. I've asked God to forgive me of my sins and I'm following Him. But I'm asking, are you living in the shalom peace of God? In other words, the way in which you live your life, in which we live our lives, are there any reasons that, or are there any occasions that we need to re-examine our lives? The easiest, or the way in which, I will say, the way in which most people will do is, you know, I'm all right. But I think it's important for us to pause and think and ask God, God, am I all right? Am I living in your shalom peace with people as a whole, right? Is there someone we need to make up? Now let me say this. I know that, I don't know whether you guys here follow the church calendar, right? But today happens to be the last day of the church calendar. Tomorrow is New Year, just in case you don't know. Tomorrow is the beginning, church calendar, the season of Advent, right? And Advent is a period where we think, we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Advent is about a new season. We think of the coming of Jesus Christ, who come to make mankind new, to bring us back to God. And of course, for confirmation, right? Confirmation, and I always tell people that, you know, the reason, one of the chief reasons why within the Anglican Church we practice we have the practice of confirmation is that so that as we grow in our Christian life, there's a point of time, and particularly this is important for the fact that when young people come to faith, there's a point of time when they renew their faith, right? And I think it's important for us as we renew our faith, it is a new season. And the new season is this. Am I living my life as God will want me? Right? Am I living in His shalom peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. The phrase there, blessed, one of the other ways of translate the word blessed, the word blessed is the in Greek, it's the word makarios, which means happy, joyful, right? And of course, a person who is blessed of God is joyful, right? Joyful are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And as we come, as we live our Christian lives, now surely this is where we want to align our lives to. And that is, we want to enter and walk in God's blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Let me invite you to pause before God. Invite you to pause before God and ask God, God, am I in a setting where I'm living in your shalom peace? I would think that for most of us here, answer would likely to be yes. But if not, then I think it's good for us, this point of time, to come to God and ask Him to do something for us. Perhaps God is bringing to mind an incident, even an old one, and God is calling us to be reconciled, to make amends. And as we do that, or as God speaks to us, we need to ask God, God, help me to do that. Then perhaps, for some of us, yes, we're living in God's shalom. But we happen, and God has allowed us to see something which others have not seen. And then God has opened our eyes to a setting where God is calling us to be peacemakers. I want to encourage you this afternoon, as if this is where God is speaking to you, say to God, God, I will do it. I will be the peacemaker that you ask me to. And I suppose over this week or so, make the opportunity to serve God's purpose. Father, we thank you, God, that here is the book of everlasting life. And Lord, you call us to live in peace with everyone. And you ask us also, Lord God, to make peace in settings where we know that peace needs to be made. Father, we pray, Lord God, that by your Spirit, you will lead us to live out what Scripture promises as a blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Cause us, Lord God, to be shaped by your word and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.